Hey guys, super excited about Easter weekend. Man, thank you so much for all of you who worked so hard getting ready and preparing literally all of our 8 campuses so people could come and hear the name of Jesus for the very, very first time. Look, it's my heart and my passion for people to become real with themselves, God, and others. But the reality is I can't do it by myself and we don't have enough staff members to do it. And so a lot of you volunteered, gave your time, gave hours in prayer, and you made this happen. So thank you so much. And I appreciate literally you giving up your holiday weekend to make sure people could have a holy encounter with Christ. And so I'm just so appreciative and so thankful. I'm super excited to really launch this next series, and I wanted to do that. Typically, I take the weekend off after Easter, but I didn't want to do that because I care so much about this series, and this series, I believe, is going to have such a powerful impact in your life. I know that it's affected my life, it's affected my relationship with my wife, our relationship with each other, our friendships, the way that we relate to our kids, and I believe that it will transform the way you see God, the way you see others, and the way that you see yourself. So you don't wanna miss out on this series. It's going to be incredible, I promise. It's gonna be incredible. The series is called You. And some of you, especially if you grew up religious or Christian, you're a little uncomfortable with that because you're like, I go to church to learn about God. Absolutely. But a lot of us who claim to know God aren't obedient to God. So why is the series called You? Write it down. It's a commandment. A lot of people, we think we know the commandments, we think we know what God's taught us to do, to think, how to practice our religion, but we never include ourselves in that process. And so I'm gonna talk about not only a commandment, but the greatest commandment. In Matthew 22, and you have these notes right in front of you, it says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, think about this. This would be like a religious leader shutting up both Democrats and Republicans. Neither of them know what to do. Both Jewish political parties are like, we don't know what to do with Jesus. And so literally one of the political parties steps up and they say, okay, you shut the Sadducees up, but we're gonna give you our opinion and we're gonna ask you this question. So they met together, think about this, they huddled together to trap Jesus and they ask him this question. So they find one of the smartest, brightest Pharisees, an expert in religious law, and they tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Now think about that. Think if you had to summarize the entire Bible, all of the books, all of the writings, all of the scriptures in one verse. And look here, Jesus doesn't even blink. He replies. He knows exactly what the most important commandment is. And he says this, you gotta love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Now he hasn't offended anybody or shocked anybody with that. But what he's gonna say next is going to change the way Jews see religion forever. This is going to be radical. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment, and he says the second is equally important. This is just as important as the most important commandment. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I think a lot of you see the word neighbor there, and you get it. I need to be nicer to people. I need to be kinder. I need to be gentler. I need to be better to others. I think most of us kind of get that. But the word you miss there is the word yourself. In the most important commandment, Jesus includes you. You and I, we need to learn to love ourselves. We need to learn to care about ourselves because if we don't know how to treat who we are, how on earth are we gonna treat our neighbor? How on earth are we gonna know how to relate to God? Jesus literally says the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based upon these two commandments. So why is that? Why would Jesus be so interested literally in you loving God, you loving others, and you love yourself? Here's the answer. Because Christianity, write this down, is a relational movement. A lot of us think of it as a religion, and it does have religious practices, okay? But the reason we practice our religion is to connect with God relationally. The reason my wife and I religiously practice date night is so that we can connect relationally. The purpose of the practice is to connect relationally. It's why we do what we do, because if you don't give a relationship time, guess what? You don't have a relationship. And so we do religious practices to connect with God. So Christianity is a relational movement towards really three things. A right relationship, first of all, with God. We have a broken relationship with God. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came because we were separated from God by sin. But not only does sin trip us up with our relationship with God, it messes up our relationship with each other. Even if you're married, even if you have kids, have a couple of kids, you'll really see this work out, right? Your kids are gonna fight against each other. They're not gonna be kind to each other because sin tears apart relationships. Even the most intimate bonds of a brother and a sister or two brothers or two sisters, even within the context of human relationships where we should be the most loving and the most kind, we see sin working. It separates, it divides. But not only does sin negatively affect our relationship with God, with each other, it also, write this down, it affects my relationship with myself. Sin skews the way that I see myself. It actually blinds me to the real me. I don't see myself. I don't understand myself. And so here's the problem. If you don't know you, how on earth are you gonna know God? How are you gonna relate to somebody else? A lot of people, when they come to Sandals Church, they have a problem with, you know, real with self. Like they get, okay, we're gonna be real with God. We're gonna get deep into Bible study. Or, okay, real with others. We understand that. We need to share the gospel. But they never think of it in terms of being real with themselves. Listen, your relationship with God, guess what it's limited on? You. Your relationship with others, guess what the limiting factor is? It's you. And so if you want to experience everything that God has for you, you have to deal with yourself. You have to be willing to look inside and say, okay, God, who am I? What is it that I don't see about myself that you see? And so a lot of us, man, we don't know what happened. We don't understand the Bible. We don't understand life. We don't understand this concept called sin. And so what I wanna do is I wanna take you way back. Let's go way back before Jesus ever came to the earth, and let's talk about when it all went wrong. Let's talk about what happened. Let's talk about why we need to talk about you, why we need to grow you, challenge you, and let God redeem you, and ultimately create you once again to who he always meant you to be. So Genesis chapter 3, and let me just say this. This is a creepy story, it's a weird story. So if you're new to Christianity, just put your seatbelt on and hold on, okay? We got a talking snake, we got a lot of weird things happening, we got naked people in a garden, and it's all in the Bible. That's why you gotta read the Bible, it's better than soap operas. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day, the serpent asked the woman, we got a talking snake here, this is just the reality. This is what God says happened. One day, he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat of the fruit from any trees in the garden? See, a lot of people, they think, well, God gave us 10 commandments. Actually, in Genesis, he gave us one. There was only one command. Don't eat of this tree. Don't. You can eat from anywhere else. Don't touch this tree. Why? It was a special tree. It was a tree that literally was the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. She said, of course we may eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden, the woman replied. It is only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. And so they've been very, very clear. God said, look, I love you. I placed you here. Everything's beautiful. Everything's wonderful. And a lot of people don't, you know, really understand Genesis chapter 1-2. But here, let me just set this for you. God made the earth perfect for human beings. It wasn't perfect before. There are dinosaurs running everywhere and they would eat us. So God creates this garden, this literally orchard, this place that's protected for Adam and Eve to thrive, to do everything that they want to do. But here's the thing, in order for them to be free beings, there has to be choice. And so here's this option for evil. He says that God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. And so the reality is Adam and Eve are perfect, but they were naive. They didn't understand everything that was good, and they didn't understand everything that was evil, but they did understand obedience. They knew they weren't supposed to, they knew it was wrong, and so they willfully chose to disobey God. And this is why all of our lives are broken, because God has said, do things this way, and we've chosen our own way. Every time we do that, it breaks our relationship with God, it breaks our relationship with each other, and get this, it breaks our relationship with ourselves. Sin is an equal opportunity destroyer. It doesn't care who you are, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're young, whether you're old, it will destroy your life. But the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. Now, we don't know what kind of fruit it was. It wasn't an apple. That comes about 500 years ago where some artist conceptually thought it was an apple. We don't know what it was. It was just a piece of fruit. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. And she gave some to her husband, because where is he? Being a dummy, standing right there, sinning completely along with her. She gave it to him and he ate it too. Underline this, at that moment, their eyes were opened. You see, part of what the devil said was true. You are going to be changed. You are gonna know something that you didn't know before. And the most dangerous lie is always the lie with the little truth. At that moment, their eyes were open, and suddenly, underline this, for the first time as human beings, they felt shame at their nakedness. They didn't know they were naked, right? Think about, you know, all of us have probably been around a young kid that, you know, right up to about the age of three, they don't care. Man, if they're at the beach, they're naked. They don't care what they're doing. They have no concept of shame or awkwardness, and it's just naked party all the time. And then at about 3 years old, hopefully that happened to you, because if you're 30 and you're naked, that's weird and maybe you need to be arrested. But for most of us, at some point in time in our life, we realize, okay, I shouldn't be naked everywhere that I go. But for the first time in humanity, they're like, oh, what's wrong with me? Something's wrong with me. At that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. Underline this, because this is really, really important. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And that's the problem. That's why we struggle in our relationship with God. It's why we struggle in our relationship with each other. Even in the context of marriage, we cover ourselves. We hide. We're not real. We're not honest and we're not truthful. And here's why. Because at the core of who we are, sin has made us all shameful. And so we're not willing to be completely real, because what we're afraid of is, if you really knew who I am, you wouldn't love me. I got good news for you. I don't know what you've done or where you've been or what's happened in your life, but God loves you. He loves you, and he doesn't want to cover you with a fig leaf. He wants to cover you with the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you on the cross. So it says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. Why? What is Christianity? It's a relational movement. What is God doing? He's walking, he's moving towards relationship with Adam and Eve. And so they hid from the Lord among the trees. So what happens? They cover themselves from each other and they cover themselves from God. As soon as sin comes into the picture, instantaneously, they don't have a right relationship with themselves. They're ashamed. They don't have a right relationship with each other because they're ashamed. And then here comes God. And God comes walking in the garden and they're terrified and they're frightened. And so they've covered themselves literally from each other. And so they think bushes is gonna work for God. I got news for you, you can't hide from God, but they don't know this yet. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And the Lord God called to the man, he said, where are you? And he replied, I heard you walking in the garden and so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Now I want you to notice here, look at God's response. God says, who told you you were naked? It's not God who tells us there's something wrong in our lives, it's sin. And here's what sin does. Sin not only shames us, it tells us that there's no cure for our problem. The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? And the answer is, yes, we did, Lord. But because of this one decision, our whole lives forever have been transformed, have been changed in a negative way. We're separated from God, we're separated from each other. Even the greatest love relationships struggle because of sin. And think about that, think about marriage. 50% of marriages in America today end in divorce, and this is the person we claim to love more than anyone else. And why is that? It's sin. It affects us. It affects every relationship, regardless of how mature or regardless of how new the relationship is. Sin is right there in that. Even when you have a child, you love a child, you love this child so much, you think, oh my gosh, I could never imagine being frustrated with my kid. Give them time, they will grow. Because every child, as beautiful and as wonderful as they are, is born a sinner. So to have a right relationship with God, I've got to uncover three things. Three things that we're gonna challenge you in this series. Three things that we're gonna look at. The first thing is this, is how do I perceive life? I want you to write that down. How do you perceive life? I don't know if you've noticed, but we don't all see life the same way. And if you don't believe me, on your way home from church, I want you to get on the internet and look at Fox News, their page, and I want you to look at CNN, their page. If you look at both of those pages, the front page of their websites, you would think we live in a different country. The number one news story is very rarely the same. We see things differently, but not only politically, we see things differently oftentimes because of our race, because of our socioeconomic status, because of our gender. We see things differently. The same event can happen. My wife and I can be right there, same place, same time, and we can see two totally different things. Here's one of the secrets to life. We don't all see the same thing. We just don't. Because who we are is affected by who we are. Jesus says this. He says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. So, right, when your eye's good, you're gonna see everything good. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. You see, sin not only affects who we are, but it affects what we see. We don't always see things accurately. We see things differently. Even if we see a part of the truth, we don't see the whole truth. And that's why we need community. That's why you need to be in small groups, because you need to learn that people see things differently. People are different. Different things literally encourage them. Different things frustrate them. And we've got to learn ourselves, how do I perceive life? This is the way that I see it, but it may not be the way that everybody else sees it. You might not even be aware of what you see. You might not even be aware of how you experience life or you look at life. But in this series, we're gonna talk about how each of us perceives life. And this is so important, because if your eye is bad, your view of God is gonna be bad. If your eye is bad, your view of others is going to be bad. And look at our world today. Look at how quickly we prejudge everybody, or we think we know what someone else is thinking or feeling or wants to do. It's because we think we see accurately when we don't. It's one of the main reasons I believe Jesus is constantly interested in restoring sight to the blind. He actually says this. He tells a group of Pharisees, some religious Jews, he says, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. He said, but because you see, you are. And so what he's saying is, you have eyes that have nothing wrong with them, but the reality is you, from your perspective, are seeing something entirely different. So think about this. Sometimes Jesus will do a miracle. Let's say, for instance, he restores sight to the blind. A blind person can see. Some people see a work of God. You know what others saw? The work of the devil. Same miracle, same thing happened, same person, two completely different perceptions of what took place. So in this series, we're gonna talk about how we perceive life. Next, we're gonna talk about how we process what I've perceived. So it's not just that we see things differently, but we actually process. What does this mean? How do I feel about this? What's going on here today? You know, what does this mean about me, my family, my safety? What does this mean about where I am and what I'm doing? Processing is so important. You've heard me say this a couple times at Sandals Church. It's not the events that destroy your life, it's the meaning that we attach to them. So we perceive something, and our perception may be accurate, it may not be. But then we attach a meaning to it that can be debilitating, it can destroy us. So some people see an event, like say a natural disaster, and they perceive it and they see it. And they say, how could a good God allow such evil in the world? And so as they process it, they say there is no good God. They've perceived something, they've processed it, but I believe they've come to the wrong conclusion based upon their point of view. And that's why scripture is so important. We need the Bible, because the Bible challenges what we perceive and it challenges the way that we process. Literally, as Christians, our job is to change the way we think, act, and feel. We have to be different, because I don't have the eyes of Jesus. I don't have the feelings of Jesus. And because of that, oftentimes I don't act like Jesus. I act like myself. I act like my own personality. I act according to my own needs and my own wants. And here's what's sad. Sometimes I act in a way that I don't even want, because I don't understand myself. In this series, I'm telling you, if you stick with us for the next couple of weeks, you are going to learn some things about yourself that you never knew. And it's simply because you began the process of looking and saying, God, I want you to show me what I've been missing. Next, it's how I present myself. So I perceive the world in a certain way, and I process it, and now I present myself in a certain way. Like, I didn't realize for a long time that I was a close talker. Some of you are laughing because you've had interactions with me. People have said, you stare into my soul. Well, part of that is because I have ADD, and if I'm not staring at your face, I'm looking at everything else and people feel like I'm not paying attention. But I also realize we live in a culture where people don't make eye contact, and so when I stare at you, you freak out. And so I've had to learn. I present myself as a person who wants people to think I care about them, so I stare at their face. And it makes them very, very uncomfortable. And so I was unaware of how I presented myself for years until I met a psychologist who said, you're a close talker. I didn't even know what a close talker was. I had never crossed my mind. But she said, you're a close talker and it makes me uncomfortable. I need you to take a step back. From that, I've become more aware of how I present myself, and I notice when people get a little too uncomfortable if I'm too close, and I've learned to step back. It was something about me that I'd had my entire life, but I never knew. I never knew, even though I'm staring at people who are reacting to who I am. So it's how I present myself, and we all do this. We perceive the world in a certain way. We process the information that we're perceiving, and so we present ourselves. And here's the thing, sometimes we're presenting ourselves as an unfriendly person, even though we want friends. Sometimes we present ourselves as a know-it-all, even though we know we don't know it all. And so we have to look at ourselves and say, how am I being received? How do people receive me? What do they experience when they interact with me? Because a lot of people are confused as to why people are so offended with what I say or what I do. And this series is gonna help you learn how to be aware of how people receive you. In this series, write this down. We want to invite God to reveal the real me. Make no mistake, we're gonna be in God's word every single week. Every single week, we're gonna be looking at scripture and we're gonna ask God to do one thing. God, would you reveal the real me? Would you show me me? Here's my prayer, that because of the love of God, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, you would be able, circle these words, to let God reveal the good. Some of you, your problem and your sin is you don't accept the fact that there's any beauty about you at all. I hear people say all the time, I don't have any gifts, I don't have any talents. That's a lie and that's not the truth. Every single human being is created in the image of God and you reflect God some way. There is something beautiful about you. The good, all of us have it. Gifts, talents, right? Next, the bad. There's things that we shouldn't be doing. There's an approach to life that we've been taking that we need to be aware of. And we need to change that, we need to alter that. But I want you to look at this next word, the ugly. There's some things about myself that I'd rather not be honest with, but here's the thing. Jesus can't change me unless I offer up everything to him. And so there's some things in my life that are really, really ugly. Look, I started Sandals Church 20 years ago, and I remember specifically a fight that Tammy and I got in. And I'm not proud of this fight. It was an ugly, ugly fight. It was an ugly moment. And she had locked herself in the bathroom, and I was not yelling, but speaking loudly through the door. You can imagine I was yelling. And she was crying on the other side of the door. And I actually said these words, "Why is it that the whole world thinks I'm awesome?" I'm not proud of it, it's what I said. I said, "Why is it that the whole world thinks I'm awesome, but you can't stand me?" And I heard this little whimpering voice from the other side of the door, and this is what she said, "Because no one knows the real you like I do." It was one of the first times in my life that I heard the word of God and he spoke through my wife's mouth. It was ugly, it was awful. But you know what? If I'm gonna be healed in my marriage, I've gotta get real. Look, there's some things in every one of our lives that we wanna pretend don't exist. But if you really want God to take a hold of your life, if you really want God to change your life, you need to be real about the ugly. And we all have it. We all have it, okay? And God is completely uninterested in the way we look on the outside, but he's interested in who we are on the inside. Look at this Psalm, Psalms 139, 23. I want you to circle these words. "Search me, O God. Look at me, God, show me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Look, a lot of us struggle with anxiety, but we don't have any earthly understanding as to why. In this series, I believe God can reveal to you why you struggle with anxiety and present a plan that you can move forward to experience healing. Look, this Enneagram, this thing that we're gonna walk through, it's just a tool. But I want you to know that God has used it as a tool to transform my life and to challenge me and to reveal to me the areas where he needs to remove some dirt and some areas where he needed to put some dirt. Because I've allowed God to search me. I've asked God to know my heart and to know my anxious thoughts. Psalms 51:6, this is one of our really core theological verses for us at Sandals Church. Our vision is to be real with ourselves, real with God, and real with others. This is a prayer, a psalm, and it says this, "Behold, you," that's God, "delight in the truth in the inward being." Look, there's truth outside and there's truth inside. And a lot of us are simply comfortable with principles and philosophies and theories, things that we can discover. We're comfortable in the classroom, but we're not comfortable in the heart. The Bible says, "Behold, you delight in the truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Look, there's parts of me that I don't know. There's parts of me that only God knows. But he wants to reveal those parts to me. The good, there's good things about me that I don't know. There's still some things that I need to correct that I don't know. And I'm gonna be honest, even as your pastor, there's still some real ugliness that the Lord needs to reveal. But here's the good news, he loves me. He loves me. Remember what he said? "Who told you that you were naked?" That's our sin that causes us to cover and hide. We don't have to hide from God because we have Jesus. We can run to Jesus. He's our protector, he's our defender. And he shields us not only from shame, but from the wrath of God. He protects us in all things. It's why the Bible says that we can come to the Lord boldly. We can come to him in our time of need because of Jesus. Look, this last verse is one of those verses that's hard for me, and you'll know more once we study the number 3, because that's what I am. but it says, keep me from lying to myself. It's a struggle that I have every day. But some of us struggle with this, and we're not willing to deal with the real truth. The Bible says, keep me from lying to myself. A lot of us, we don't just lie to others, but we lie to ourselves. We've convinced ourselves this is as good as it gets. Nothing can ever change. Nothing that I do matters. And we've created all of these lies that imprison us. Jesus said this, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. My prayer is in this series, man, you're set free. Set free to be who God's called you to be. Some of you in your marriages, you're like Tammy and I, and you're just struggling. And literally you're fighting over the same issue over and over and over again. Look, this series helped release us from a prison where we had the same fight over and over and over again. Because not only in this series will you discover who you are, but you'll discover who your spouse is, who your friends are, and they'll be able to communicate that to you and create a language that makes being real, here's the key, easier. It's not easy to be real, but it's the vision God gave us. And this series will make it easier for you. So keep me from lying to myself and give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. Circle that last word, instructions. Here's God's instructions. Know yourself. Know yourself, because you can't love what you don't know. It's the greatest commandment. You are starting with numero uno. This is the most important thing. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Look, a lot of us believe that we're obedient to God, but if we don't love ourselves, we're not obedient to God. We're not following God. And ask yourself, if I don't mean anything, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross for me if I have no value? If I'm not worthy of love? The reality is I have value and I'm worthy of love. And that's why God died for me on the cross. That's why Jesus died for me on the cross. I know many of you are going to be tempted to check out and, oh, this sounds like self-help. What is wrong if something actually helps? I believe God's for anything that helps us to become more real with Him, with each other, and with ourselves. God's for those things. The Bible says, whatever's good, honorable, noble, and true, focus on these things. And that's what we're doing for the next couple of weeks. We're focusing on you, getting you to see the real you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I hope you won't miss this series. I truly believe God is going to do an amazing thing in our church. And listen to me, you've never thought about these words together, but I believe God's gonna bring a revival of love for ourselves and our church. And I believe when we start loving ourselves, we are going to be contagious in a good way to everyone that we know and everyone that we interact with, because we live in a world where people hate themselves. They hate what they look like, they hate who they are, and they hate what they do. And God wants to set you free from that prison, and He wants to set you free to a life of love, where not only do you believe that God loves you, but you actually live like it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful for our church. And God, I pray right now that, Lord, as we all gather for worship, God, I know that there's so many doubters in the audience, so many people that are saying, I'm not worthy of love. This series is not for me. This is a bunch of self-help gibberish. God, would you just, through your Holy Spirit, speak truth to them right now and challenge them? God, my prayer is that every single one of us would ask ourselves, what are you inviting me to learn about myself in this series? God, what do you need to change in me? God, how do you need to redirect me? God, what are the things in my life that you need to affirm? God, what are the good words and kind words that need to be spoken over me? Lord, I just pray that you would invite us all in a very real way to become as real as we've ever been. In the next couple of weeks, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.